This is the Chester County Real Estate Podcast, bringing you the info you need to make your next move a great one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Chester County Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Davinsky, and this is the show that gives you the information you need to make your next move a great one. On this episode, I'm sitting down with Stephen Marks again. Stephen, what's going on?
Thanks, Sean. Pleasure to have you.
Great being here.
There you go.
There you go.
Awesome. So today I want to talk a little bit, just kind of get an idea of what the market is doing. So I want that on the ground, hands-on, from the front lines approach. This is honestly, I love it when we can just talk about what people who, what agents are seeing. I guess real stories from the front line, basically. So we're hitting, it's early October 2023, and I think the biggest news is interest rates, right?
Yeah.
Are you seeing, so right now we just saw the interest rates jump up a little bit, a lot. Like, what are we looking at right now?
They're pretty much right around 8%. And being from a listing agent's perspective, you know, that's mainly, well, the last 3 months, that's been 90% of my business has been listings. Mm-hmm. We are seeing stuff sell a good bit slower is the best way to put it. You know, days on market's going up. Mm-hmm. People are definitely being pickier with what they spend. Is what it is. You know, it's no longer days of 5-6% interest rates. And when we had 5-6% interest rates, people were saying, oh, it's no longer the days of 3% interest rates.
Right.
But, you know, the truth, the reality is, you know, it's 8%. You know, that's where the national average was for the past 30 years or so. So it's, you know, things are selling slower.
So, like, are you seeing things like they're getting picky, buyers are getting picky about things that are seemingly not related that you think might be? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think people are like, they're not necessarily, they hate the expression cold feet.
Yeah.
But they're getting that a little bit easier with something, you know, like it's always been a big lump sum of money that they're putting towards buying a property. Mm-hmm. But back when, you know, the interest rates were lower, the market was a little hotter, they felt like, oh, you know, maybe one or this thing or that thing I can kind of always fix later or change later, whatever it may be. So I think people right now are looking for a lot more of like that deal or that 100% move-in ready. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
No more of the days of buying like that light fixer-upper that, like, you know, is move-in ready, but, you know, you might need to paint the walls and do some of that stuff. Like, people are just getting picky. Mm-hmm. Is kind of what I've realized. You know, like, I have a listing in Downingtown, and it's a beautiful listing. You know, it's great. It's kind of, you know, freshly redone in some spots. And, you know, there's some stuff here and there. You know, the kitchen's still yellow, mm-hmm. Stuff like that. And, you know, we've had a good amount of action. We've had a lot of showings. And by the amount of showings we've had, by the statistic numbers of what I've seen in past listings, I should have gotten about one or two offers by now. Mm-hmm. You know, but with the feedback, we've had to adjust, you know, we can do a little price reduction and kind of, you know, we're going the method of offering a seller's assist now to help with closing costs, just to, you know, really show like, hey, like, guys, we're here to sell the property. That's what we want to do. And to a buyer's perspective, you know, if they're seeing that we're offering the closing costs, mm-hmm. they might say, hey, you know, like, that's less money out of my pocket,
right.
And more money that we can put towards, you know, that difference of what, you know, the 7-8% interest rate would be.
So a couple questions on that. One, the feedback that you're getting, is it objective? Like, is it objective feedback or is it subjective feedback as far as their objections go? Is it, you know what, it needs too much work, the kitchen is too old, we don't like the location? Or are you getting more like, it doesn't feel right, it's not for them, they just don't really like it once they saw it? Like, and have you seen that shift at all in the last year or so as like the market has shifted?
Yeah, so I think now we're more towards like in the middle phase, because I've mm-hmm. gotten both types of feedback on this property. I've gotten feedback where it's like, hey, you know, my clients did think the price was a little high. You know, I've called them, said, hey, you know, what about it, you know, made them right. think that. And then, you know, there's also the type of feedback that I'm getting where it's like, you know, people are just saying, hey, you know, the room's too small for me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not going to work for my scenario of what I need. And, you know, that's completely understandable. Not mm-hmm. every home's for everybody out there. You know, if I was buying a home, if I'm not going to buy a house that's too small for my family, I'm not going to buy something that's, you know,
right,
not right for my family. So, you know, that type of feedback's understandable. But I think now we're kind of in that middle phase. You know, it's no longer like back 6 months ago, the only criticism you got was, hey guys, it's just, you know, it's not big enough for my family, or, yeah, you know, it's not right for the situation. You know, I don't want to say price was not necessarily an issue back then, but back when, you know, the mortgage payment of a $300,000 house is equivalent to a mortgage payment of a $500,000 house now, or opposite way around, $500,000 house back then was, yeah, is the equivalent to a mortgage payment of a $300,000 house now. You know, people are getting a little more.
Has that, you know, is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but like if you go back to like 2021 numbers compared to like today, the purchasing power of like people that were buying like $500,000 to $600,000 homes, like they're in the mid fours now.
Okay.
Just because that interest rate has doubled.
Right.
Almost tripled in an extent.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's tripled. I mean, it's definitely doubled since what, like last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah,
because I mean, initially we were looking at how like interest rates in the what, fours, threes.
So when I first got into real estate a little bit like 2.5 years ago,
yeah,
interest rates were at 2.5%.
Okay,
and I remember that because it was like when I first started, it was like a rat race.
Right.
It was like,
it was a frenzy.
Yeah,
every listing was just like a frenzy, and that's kind of why I'm curious on what the feedback is, because it feels like sentiment has changed and motivation has changed, whereas you're not seeing that like, oh, we have to buy something as soon as possible, anything, in any condition. Obviously, that's going to change, but the first thing you're going to do is you're going to see people start to lose their like enthusiasm, and then they'll come, you know, like they're not going to come out and be like, oh, well, if you include this, this, and this, you know, and that's where an agent does come in, you know, like that is where an agent does come in play. Someone to like go back and be like, okay, what is it that doesn't work for them? How can we look at this differently? How can we shift this around? How can we negotiate? But yeah, like, so I didn't mean to cut you off, but back when it was low, it was that weird frenzy, and it was very, I don't want to say easy because it had its own set of challenges, but things were just flying really quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were putting in offers like 30 to 50 grand above asking price, like, and even price didn't even like mean the most to them. It was more towards like waiving the inspections and stuff like that. I mean, now you're seeing stuff kind of sit at asking price a little bit more. It's still selling. I don't want to say like we're like at a complete standstill in the market. You know, stuff's still selling. It just is now it's more towards finding that right buyer for the scenario compared to what it was before, where it was like there was 80 right buyers. You know?
Right, right.
And I feel like there is, I am seeing a lot more feedback too. Like there is a lot of people that did buy back in 2021. They're like, I kind of wish I like almost waited to find a different home and didn't just like rush into this one because it was like one I could get.
Right.
You know? And I mean, I'm not necessarily like saying like, oh, they're coming back to me and they're saying like, Steven, you know, like,
they why'd regret
you
just, it.
You know, I didn't throw anybody into a home. I always asked them, you know, hey, is this something you really want to do? Like, you know, looking at the numbers, I'm more than happy to show you a property, you know? You know, it just, you know, like there's a big difference between what we're seeing, you know. I remember going to showings, and as you're in that showing, there's four other people there.
Yeah.
Like it was right. Just like, you're talking 50 plus showings in 2 days.
Well, you know, and I always kind of reminded people, I'm like, the market, it's good, as they say. I prefer a buyer's market, you know, better for investors, first time home buyers, like the people I care about. I care about the other ones too. But it's good, but it wasn't healthy. And I kind of like everything I told people, I was like, look, everyone's trying to get in the same direction. It's like a traffic jam. Everyone's going to the same place, but no one can get there. And it didn't feel like a healthy market. And there were some people who were all out, like they said it was dangerous, particularly the home inspectors, because they're like, hey, everyone's waiving inspections. This is going to come back to bite them. Personally, I feel like it depends on the property and the buyer. But, you know, it didn't feel healthy to me. And, you know, I would go and show a house and be like, hey, guys, by the way, you have about, I'd say, an hour to make the next biggest decision of your life. So let me know. And it has nothing to do with like trying to get you guys to like close the deal. It's just letting you know in a couple hours, they're going to probably accept an offer over asking and, you know, could be better or worse than yours. So It was frustrating for me as an agent. It was frustrating for buyers. And honestly, it wasn't like the sellers were really, I mean, it was nice. The extra money was nice, but they were being inundated. They couldn't really make a good decision necessarily. But yeah, it was just it was good, but I didn't like it. Honestly, it didn't feel like a healthy market. It felt like a frenzy, a buying frenzy. And I don't even like saying bubble or anything like that, because I don't even know if prices have been affected that much. But I mean, they've leveled off a little bit, but I just didn't like it. I like it when a buyer has some time to make a good decision and the seller has some time and some motivation to work with that buyer to make it a good deal. And that was just not the case for a little while back there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think now, like, the market we're seeing now is the market that I was always looking forward to, if that makes sense. You know, like, I got into real estate because, you know, I wanted to, you know, meet people, and you go along with that direction. And when I first started, you couldn't even make a connection with a client. You know, it was just like, hey, I met you for the first time off of a Zillow call from like 10 minutes ago, and we're going to submit an offer now. So, you know, I'll see a settlement.
Right.
Like, that's how it was. It was, like, not even, like, you know, now I'm taking clients out to coffee. You know, we're actually meeting up, talking about, like, building their 5 to 7 year plan or whatever it may be. Like, we're actually putting systems in place so they can, like, I'm, you know, not necessarily I wasn't doing this before, but this way it's easier for them to get ahead. And, like, they're actually putting a housing strategy, is what I like to call it, you know, in place. So it makes it very... You know, it's a very different market per se, but like the market now is definitely more personable. It's definitely more, you know, you're able to kind of get what you want. You know, I love the saying of like all things in real estate are negotiable. And people don't realize that, you know, like people see the asking price and they're like, well, that's the asking price. Like, can't go below that. But, you know, now you're in a market where you can offer below asking, you know. I mean, back in 2020, I got like 2 offers accepted below asking. You know, it just, it really depends on how you've like, you know, how your agents looking at the property, how they're actually able to evaluate some stuff, you know, and things like that.
I mean, it comes down to what the property is worth.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if something's listed, and I try to remind people, because you'll get these properties that are listed way below ask or way below market, and they're just doing it to it's just a strategy to generate a frenzy, to try to get some of that momentum done. And sometimes it works. I think it depends on the property. And then you have the ones that are way, way overpriced. And honestly, the ones that are overpriced, they're, you know, I think someone who's been in the industry for a couple of years can start to say like, hey, yeah, that's a cool house. Yeah, that is a lot of money. It's not going to go for that. Or you look at a listing and be like, you know, you get that like, oh, we have to see this today. It's so cheap. And you're like, okay, but it's not going to go for that. They're going to go over. So it's not, I mean, really, it just depends on the price and that listing on whether or not it's going to go over or under asking. Asking is just kind of a baseline to communicate, to get you to pin a price to that number. Now, technically, if you do offer a clean deal for that amount, they really should take it. So I think there's ethical issues in there. I don't want to get too into that. I have heard stories of them, you know, an offer being made and then them thinking they can get more and then the seller doesn't take the offer. I'm not sure how all that works, but it means something, but it's also there just to kind of peg a value to the property to start the negotiations. So,
I mean, one thing I've noticed is that there's agents that kind of, you know, go either way with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's one local team near us, and I've noticed a lot of his listings. He likes to just, you know, like you said, do the strategy of below market and create the hype and generate business that way. You know, I've always been a guy that I like to put it at market value of what I see it as, you know, so I run my comps and I say, you know, we're in the median price range with it. And I think that's always, in my head, that's always been the safest strategy because I know my clients aren't necessarily going to be leaving money on the table, but they're also not going to be, you know, overstressed and over worried about certain things. Now, creating like that buyer, you know, mass flux, the frenzy, like you were talking about, is always a good strategy, but it can be, you know, again, risky. Because what if that frenzy doesn't happen, and then you just listed this house at below market value, and it sits on the market for, you know, a week or two, and you don't get the multiple offers, and then you get a market, you know, an offer at asking price, when that same person was probably willing to actually pay market value for the home, You know,
well, and I've had it blown up in my face. I can think of at least one listing I had where we went in. I thought it was fairly low, but it was just a high demand area, high demand type of listing. And I had an open house and someone ran through the house and told me, he gave me his card. He goes, we're going to have an offer for you within the next day or two. Like, all right. So he gives me the offer. It's pretty standard. It's got like a 7-day home inspection contingency. I'm like, okay. So I present it to my seller and he's like, okay, looks good. I'm like, it looks good. We accept the offer. Come to find out that I think we could have done a little bit more digging to figure this out, but it was kind of one of those like frenzy situations. The guy who sent the offer was just the agent, and it was an investor situation, and the investor hasn't seen the property. The home inspection was when the investor was going to actually see the property. And I didn't really understand what was going on at first. I don't know, I'd have to sit down and talk with the broker and stuff to find out what options there were. Because if someone hands you an offer, you kind of have to present it to the seller. And you can kind of give them like a heads up, like, hey, this is like, they didn't actually see the property yet. Anyway, bottom line is the investor comes through the property, napkin math says, nah, it's not going to work for us, and backs out. So now I lost all that momentum from the open house, all those other people who were interested who then saw it go under contract. And then now I have to put it back on the MLS, and that's in the history that I took it off and then put it back on. So now when you bring your buyer, you're like, hey, Sean, why was this taken off the market and then put back on? I'm going to be as truthful as possible. I'm going to be like, hey, we had an offer. It didn't work out. They backed out. Can you tell me why they backed out? It was on a home inspection contingency. It wasn't quite what they were looking for. But, now they're asking questions. So what's wrong with the property? Why did they back out? And now I'm towing this line here, something that I really should never have had to like worry about. So, I've talked to other people about this, like, no, the buyer has to see the property before I accept an offer. But my whole point there is just kind of pointing out that like when you're in this like frenzy, like and there's like a huge amount of demand, it's not necessarily good for the seller. You know, things can happen. Things can, slip through the cracks almost, or say, I don't know if you'd agree with that. But just because there's a lot of people getting a large amount of money doesn't necessarily mean it's good for the seller, and that they're going to come out ahead in every single situation.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that definitely a good bit, as far as like, from the buyer end, you still got like the if you did get a home inspection contingency, accepted. Like, I noticed that the listing agents, when I first started, they were very on edge. Like, they were very overwhelmed, per se, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So, like, I my first deal ever was under a home inspection contingency, and we backed out, and the agent wasn't too happy about it.
Right.
Hey, you're the ones that decided to go with our offer.
Right.
You told us to give us highest and best. We gave you the highest offer we could.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did, but... You probably had three other offers that didn't have a home inspection contingency on it, but you saw that five extra grand that was on the table or something like that, and that's what you went with.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of it's the sellers choose which offer to accept.
Yeah.
And that's why also people are like, oh, what's an agent actually? I've heard people like, what's a real estate agent actually do? How much time did you spend? I'm like, I don't know. You don't know when your real estate agent just saved you $100,000 because they advised you not to take the wrong offer or something like that. But you had someone there to kind of talk about this, negotiate this, get the deal done. People are like, oh, you spend what, like an hour on the phone, and then you make all this money. And it's like, maybe, possible. Or maybe we spend months working with someone and we don't make any money. So, what do you do then? So,
I mean, there's a lot of times I go into listings and I'm like literally cleaning the house as like the photographer's there.
Yeah.
And like whatever it may be, like certain situations like that. I mean, if it's vacant, I've had cobwebs in the corners.
Right.
I've had there's a lot of other stuff that goes on, behind the scenes. I've painted walls and stuff like that for clients. I've done certain things like that,
Is that an offer?
Is that an offer?
Just kidding.
I mean, hey, everything's negotiable, But no, it's like one of those things where like I think that's what really makes a good agent compared to a bad agent. Like if you get done selling your home and you don't feel like your agent was worth the money,
mm-hmm.
you know, of what they did, then that agent didn't do a good enough job.
Or it's possible that if you got done selling the house and the agent made it look easy and felt like it wasn't worth the money, then maybe he was doing his job. Yep. Maybe that's exactly his job, his or her job. If an agent's constantly coming up with like issues and there's always fires to put out, like maybe that's not a great agent, you know. And I don't want to like knock any agents here or anything like that, but a lot of times agents will create drama to be the hero. All right, I don't want to say a lot. It happens.
Yes.
So, you know, and then you're like, oh, man, it's so great. She takes care of things. But honestly, no, like the drama-free, easy sale is what the agent is supposed to be providing. So there is an element where it's like if you feel like you're overpaying, it's like, well, maybe it's because they did their job almost too well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was too easy. They made it look easy.
That's like, because like my goal, my motto is always to make like, hey, like, I'm going to make this move as stress-free as possible.
Right.
You know, like, I help out with budget trucks, whatever it may be. I help with the moving situation. Like, from the whole nine yards, start to finish, I try to make it as stress-free as possible. And, like, so for me, like, I'm always kind of, you know, keeping contact with you every single day, like, mm-hmm. that type of situation. And, you know, I've never personally had somebody come up to me and say, like, yo, it's not worth the money to, like, pay you, like, that right. kind of situation. So, like, when I do hear people say, like, oh, like, real estate agents, like, jobs are, like, useless,
yeah.
In a sense, I'll sometimes agree with them,
right?
You know, I'll say, hey, like in reality, like yes, you can go out and hire an attorney, do mm-hmm. everything that I'm doing. You can go out and do this, but like, do you know the statistics? You know, like in my head, like why wouldn't you use a buyer's agent?
Right.
Like, why as a buyer am I going to go out of my way and pay an attorney when a buyer's agent is free for the buyer, like the consumer? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why am I going to pay an attorney to do mm-hmm. to do a job that, like, literally somebody is certified to do? I have a license that states that I'm allowed to write agreement of sales in the state of Pennsylvania, that I'm allowed to represent buyers.
Right.
You know?
Well, even on the seller side, too. I mean, why would you not list it with an agent? Like, I get negotiating maybe 6% or whatever is a little high, or, you know, you can handle some of the other cost, or because there are agents who will just pass, like, they'll take full commission and then pass every single cost onto the seller. And it's like, interesting strategy. But even then, it's like, compared to like putting a freaking for sale by owner sign in your yard, like, if you drive down the road and you see a for sale by owner sign, the first thing you're thinking is, how am I going to start negotiating with this person? How am I going to get this person down as low as possible? If you see it listed with something like a REMAX sign, you're like, oh, okay, this person's being represented by an agent. And I don't know. Like, I don't know how you can, like, there's no data. I mean, there is some data. I don't believe the data on there because I think it's just one of those things where it's like, every situation is different. It's like when people give like dating advice and they're like, oh, girls really like this or guys really like that. And you're like, really? Like, I think it kind of depends on the individual and the individual situation. But yeah, with like real estate, I'm like, why would you want like, what do you think someone's like, how do you think you're opening up the conversation with a for sale by owner sign from Home Depot and you think you're going to get the same amount for your house?
Well, like, I mean, like, again, there's Bright MLS studies. There's like realtor.com studies. Right. Like if you search up like for sale by owner versus like listing with a realtor,
and I don't believe any of them.
And like,
I'm just kidding.
If you search up some of them, they're like on average though, a lot of them do say it's like 17 to 20% is what you're leaving on the table. And you look at that and you're like, well, how does that number like come out? Like, how do I, as a, you know, for sale by owner, like, how do I get 17% less?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, though, it makes sense. You're going to Home Depot, you're buying that 97 cent, you know, for sale by owner sign. You're most likely paying somebody like one of them listed services on the MLS. You're paying them, you know, $700, whatever it may be. And then you're just like, that's going to get dispersed to Zillow. Okay. So how is that 17% coming to play? Well, you're no longer scheduling up your own showings on showing time. You're doing it like manually by a phone and like all this other stuff. And most people, no offense, aren't going to go out of their way to just give you a random phone call. They're going to text their agent. And if you're getting bombarded with all this stuff, if you miss one opportunity, there's one opportunity missed right there.
Mm-hmm.
Same situation of like the marketing material and all the other stuff. You know, most likely I've seen a lot of for sale by owners not get professional photography. They're just taking pictures off their iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, that stuff doesn't do well with like algorithms and disbursement and different things like that.
Right.
You know, you're not running the targeted Facebook ads that like my company alone has spent thousands of dollars like trying to narrow down and find the right consumer. Mm-hmm. You know, different things like that. It's like stuff like this adds up. Like, there's a reason why, like, when you go to buy, what's a good example?
I always use ketchup. You
know, yeah.
Ketchup example. So, like, you have the, I'm just gonna name a name, like Heinz brand ketchup, right? And then you go in the Wegmans and you got like the name brand at the top. And then, well, on the bottom shelf, you have like the store brand, right? And there are people who will always just buy the store brand. But there's also people who just always buy the name brand. But I'll tell you what, if they were the same price, no one's going to buy the store brand. Like, there has to be a price difference if all things being equal. Because half the time, people know it's made in the same factory. Like, it's all coming from the same place. It's all the same ketchup. But you know, like if you, no one's going to buy that bottom shelf brand if it's the same price as the top shelf. It just isn't going to happen. So the idea that people are going to spend the same amount of money for a house with a Home Depot sign, not that Home Depot is a bad brand, but like the for sale by owner sign, I just find it hard to believe. And I just feel like if you extrapolate the data out far enough, everyone has their friend or neighbor who was able to do it some different way, alternative way, and it might have worked out for them. What you don't know is the friend or neighbor who it didn't work out for them. And just so happenly, they don't go around talking about it.
Yeah.
People don't like to like repeat their failures over and over again. Yes, it sounds like everyone's getting all these wins when you're like hanging out at the cookout. But that's just because people don't talk about like, oh yeah, I made this dumb mistake and let me talk to you about it over and over again. Like, no, it's going to be like, oh yeah, I saved $2,000 by buying this car off of Craigslist. Everyone should go to Craigslist, you know, like, and it's like, well, maybe that's a good way to buy a car, but not for everybody. And you've literally told that story 5 times. You don't have 5 different stories. So sorry, that's a little bit of a rant there.
It means the same concept of like, you know, you can put it like Goodwill compared to like Versace or whatever, maybe.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's a lot of people that are only shop at like the premier outlets and like only get the name brand stuff, like you just said with the ketchup example. And I think that's the perfect example for it. Is it's just like, you know, these brands spent years and years and millions of dollars on marketing and different sorts of ventures to get their name out there and to build, you know, a company and a brand versus, you know, like just say like a garage sale.
Right.
That only happens once and not, you know, no offense, if somebody that's actually like known for marketing auctions and like and estate sales puts out a sign, they're going to get 100 people there.
Right.
You put out a sign on the corner for your garage sale, you might get 10, 15 people. Right. You know,
I'm a little surprised. You always struck me as a Kohl's guy.
But you know, like that's you know, it comes down to it. Like I can throw my house on Zillow just how anybody else can. You know, I can go type my address and just say click for sale, and yeah, I'll get in front of somebody, but it's not going to feed the algorithm. Like, you're not like all these other agents out there where they're paying Zillow thousands of dollars per month so they can appear on there more times.
Yeah,
you know, so they can do something like with the algorithms and all that other stuff. So
I hear you, man. All right, cool. Well, I think that's pretty cool, pretty good. I think it gives people an idea of where we're at with the market right now, hopefully. What's a good way for people to get in touch with you?
Give me a call, 484-883-0928. If you can't reach me through there, my social medias are pretty much StephenMarks_.
Yeah, so awesome. StephenMarks_.
For Instagram, then Facebook's just Stephen Marks.
Awesome. So. Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Guys, hey, if you like this interview and you want to check out more, head over to our YouTube channel at Remax Ace Realty, or you can check us out at ChesterCountyPodcast.com. We've got more episodes and shows there. Leave a like and a subscribe if you like this, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Chester County Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by Remax Ace Realty, serving buyers and sellers in the Chester County area. Subscribe for new episodes at acerealtypa.com/podcast. And you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and wherever podcasts are found.